Central City Media is proud to announce the Valley's favorite radio talk show. This is In the Booth with Jim Bunner.
Yes, let your glasses high.
As long as there's a USA, don't let his memory die.
That he was making history never once occurred to him.
But I doubt if we'd have been here if it weren't for men like Jim.
Big Jim has satisfied women throughout the world, and the capital of Nebraska is Lincoln.
You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spin into the wind. You don't pull a mask off the old Long Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim.
In the Booth is talk radio the way it's meant to be. And here's Jim Bunner.
Okay, I get it. There's college basketball going on tonight. And I figure that's probably what a lot of people want to sit and talk about. Okay, unfortunately, that's not exactly my strong point. Hey, thank you very much for joining me this evening on In the Booth. This is Central City Radio, ladies and gentlemen, and I am your host, Jim Bunner. Okay, boatloads of things are going on in the news that will just get people talking and thinking and wanting to talk to their friends and post everything on social media that they can. Okay, there's all kinds of things to talk about in the news, but everybody's probably interested in the big college basketball game. It's the what is it? I'm not a big college basketball guy. Okay, I like football and I like hockey. And if it's summertime and there's nothing else to sit around and watch, I'll watch baseball. Okay, but for the most part, you know, basketball, it's a good fast-paced sport, but I haven't gotten into it, especially tonight, because it's between some team from Texas and some team from Virginia. What do we got here? We got Texas Tech versus Virginia. That's what's going on in the college basketball world. Okay, so that's what most people are probably wanting to hear about. And for those of you who are big college basketball fans and you're actually listening to this show instead of going out to a bar or watching the game on television or online or whatever, right now it's halftime and it's 32-29. Virginia is ahead. Okay, I'm not infatuated with Virginia sports. I'm not infatuated with Texas sports. Okay, so I don't really have a dog in the fight in this college basketball game. But I know people are out there listening to it. It's the big thing that's going on today. Matter of fact, I got a phone call from somebody before the show started, and they were asking me, well, are you going to go watch the college basketball game? Like, no, I'm doing a radio show. What are you talking about? There's college basketball going on tonight. And I just totally missed it. Okay. But just so that everybody out there knows, I'm not totally out of touch with what's going on and what everybody is talking about, I'll just go ahead and do a mention at the beginning of the show about what's going on with college basketball game, just so that everybody doesn't think that I'm totally out of touch with what's going on in the world. Okay? I know, everybody likes the college basketball stuff. It's March Madness. Okay, you know, my hockey season technically ended. I still got the playoffs going on, but the regular season just ended over the weekend, and I enjoyed, you know, watching the final games of the season in hockey. Okay, so at least, you know, I am paying attention to what's going on that people actually care about as far as that goes. Okay, that being said, now let us get to what is going on in the news. Everybody's favorite person who keeps making the news over and over again, good old Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, has made the news again because apparently one of the new platforms that the Democratic Party has going into 2020 is they want to talk about reparations. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, among others, including some running for president, are all of a sudden making this a big platform for the Democrat Party. Okay, let's just get a little start about what is taking place in this. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York called Friday for examining and pursuing an agenda of reparations as part of a lengthy list of proposals delivered before an Al Sharpton-sponsored conference in New York. touting a controversial policy that's increasingly gained support from the 2020 field of Democratic presidential candidates. Speaking about her big cornerstone Green New Deal, which would entail a massive government-led overhaul of the economy and U.S. energy usage, the freshman Democrat also said the plan does not shy away from bold conversations of health care, housing, and education as human rights. Okay, so Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, this person who everybody loves to talk about, not necessarily in a positive way, okay, she's now bringing up this thing about reparations. And apparently it's not because she's running for office. She's already in office. But she's talking about reparations. Well, she's not the only person who is talking about making actual reparations for slavery a policy. Okay, this has been going on for a while. I remember even clear back when I was in college, there had been discussions about reparations for slavery, giving some, I don't know, something back to a community of people that there hasn't been any kind of, you know, this has been over with for a century and a half. No living American has experienced it, but apparently somebody owes somebody else something for something that took place before all of us were born. Okay. Well, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is not the only person who is talking about this. The 2020 presidential candidates, including Kamala Harris, however she pronounces her name, and Elizabeth Warren, and even Julian Castro, have all come out in favor of some form of reparations for Black Americans for slavery. Okay. This seems to be turning into a platform for the Democrat Party. For some reason. Okay, we'll examine that here in just a little bit. Now, the embrace of such a controversial proposal is indicating a shift even further to the left from what it was under Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, if such a thing is at all possible. Well, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and even Bernie Sanders previously had come out against reparations. Well, guess what Bernie Sanders is now saying? Okay, Bernie Sanders, I guess, is saying that the whole idea of reparations is not a bad idea, even though originally he had been against it. Okay, well, there's a bill going on that currently has more than 30 co-sponsors in the House of Representatives, and last month, even Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, said that she would support this legislation. Okay, so what's going on here? Is this thing about slavery that has been over with for a century and a half, and this has been a controversial topic for a while. People have been discussing this. I guess now the Democrats running for president and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, some of the Democrats running for president, along with this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, are trying to make this reparations thing actual policy. Well, what would you do? I mean, what would you do with reparations? How would you give back to Black Americans for slavery? Are people going to get free money from the government? Are people going to get a formal apology? What? I mean, how do you recompensate somebody for something that took place a century and a half ago that has not affected anybody who's alive today? Well, people who are coming out in favor of reparations so far have been a little vague about what this is that they would support. Harris has suggested that this would include a generic tax credit to families making under $100,000. Elizabeth Warren has prepared to go a step further, and she has even said that reparations for Native Americans would be part of the conversation as well. Okay, why are the Democrats trying to do this? Okay, what are you going to do? It's vague as far as what they want for reparations. They just said that they are wanting to discuss some of this stuff. Well, is it at all possible that after the Mueller report came out, they cannot run on a platform of Donald Trump having colluded with Russia, and of course the economy is doing well? What else do they have to run on? Are they trying to make this a campaign issue so they have something to run on, something to garner votes. That's all I can really think of, because it's not like any of them have been real specific about how they would go about doing reparations, what you would give back to people about who haven't actually experienced anything. Now, what would you do for reparations? Well, there has been studies about this in the past, and there was an estimate that had been done by Harper's Magazine. All right, this estimate that had been done by this Harper's Magazine said that the total of reparations due is about $97 trillion. And what is this based on? This is based on 222 million hours of forced labor between 1619 and 1865, compounded at 6% interest through 1993. Well, $97 trillion. You know what? There's not that much money on planet Earth. I don't think. I think isn't like the world economy at only like $40 trillion, $50, $60 trillion. There's not $97 trillion on planet Earth. How would you pay that? Especially when the United States is already swimming up to our eyeballs in debt. What is our national debt now? It's almost at, what, $20 trillion? It's going to be over $20 trillion by this time. And of course, our economy is only $20 trillion or so. I don't know how big the U.S. economy is now. You know, it's still growing. Okay, but we certainly don't have a $97 trillion economy. You wouldn't be able to pay that. So what are you guys proposing? What is this even? Well, the U.S. government, according to this in Harper's Magazine, this would not be totally paid by the U.S. government because the U.S. government did not exist before 1781. Okay, and I guess it started its existence in 1789, according to this thing from Harper's Magazine. So where would you, who else would be paying for it, I would like to know, this $97 trillion? Well, Bernie Sanders. Let's get into what he wants to say about his new campaign position on reparations for slavery. Okay, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders is modifying his position on reparations, and he's joining a slew of other Democratic presidential candidates, saying he now supports the possibility or supports studying the possibility of payments. Now, let's all remember, Bernie did not actually say, I have an idea for a program for paying reparations. He just said, I support studying the possibility of this. Okay, there's all kinds of leeway for the guy. If he were to become president of the United States, he could just say, well, I just supported, you know, studying whether payments would be possible. He wouldn't actually have to go through with anything. He wouldn't have to actually pay anybody any kind of money, saying, well, this is what you get because of slavery that's been over with for a century and a half. See, it looks to me like this is some political ploy. Okay, they don't have anything else to run on, so they're seriously making this a campaign issue. Well, Sanders, who has made earning support of black voters a central part of his White House bid, has previously said he does not back directly compensating the African-American community for the damage wrought by slavery and segregation. Well, when he was pressed by Reverend Al Sharpton at National Action Network Convention in Manhattan on Friday, Sanders expressed willingness to pass a law that would establish a commission to study the feasibility of reparations if he becomes president. Sharpton has asked each of the presidential candidates, and he asked them this at the convention, if they would back such legislation as president. Bernie Sanders said, if the House and Senate passed a bill, of course I would sign it. Well, a reparations bill has been introduced by good old Representative Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas. And this is fascinating what Bernie Sanders said to make himself look like he supports this reparations thing. I am the son of an immigrant whose family was murdered by the Nazis. So from a very young age, I know that we must stand up to bigotry wherever and whenever it exists. Well, okay, how are you going to recompensate people? That's something that I'm interested in knowing. And you only want a commission to study the feasibility of reparations. So does that mean that you're just going to put together a commission? They're going to study it. They're going to say, no, this is not feasible. You would have to come up with $97 trillion, which there's not that much money in the world for this. And then all of a sudden just say, oh, well, we couldn't get it done after he's been elected president. Yeah, this is good. See, this is good stuff to sit here and talk about. Okay, they can't get after Donald Trump about the Mueller investigation. They can't get after him about the economy. Okay, he hasn't had any big foreign policy screw-ups that they can run against. So now they're making reparations a big campaign deal. I can't wait for this political season next year. I'm going to enjoy seeing what types of things all of these candidates are running on. This is going to be so good. Well, speaking of candidates, Joe Biden still having a bit of a rocky time convincing people that he's not creepy. But he's handling it pretty well, I think. And we'll have that coming up right after this on In the Booth.
In the Booth will return after these quick but very important commercial breaks.
I spend a lot of time in the backyard, and I'm the center of attention at summer barbecues. In 96, I made some of the tastiest s'mores. And in 09, it was me, your backyard fire pit, that accidentally started a wildfire when a summer breeze carried one of my embers into some dry brush.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Hope you enjoyed your meal. And I just want to say, he's lucky to have a brother like you.
Lucky? Caring for my brother is far from easy. But he's a part of me, like my arms and legs, so I'll be his. No time for tired. Nothing can disable this love. He needs me, but I'm the lucky one. Even though I need help now and then.
If you're caring for a loved one, visit aarp.org/caregiving for care guides and community. Support for your strength. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
What if I told you that a tornado was going to happen tomorrow, right where you live? That it would touch down at exactly 3:17 p.m. and I told you the exact path it would take. You would, of course, prepare. You would talk with your loved ones and you'd make a plan today. It's true, I can't tell you a tornado will strike tomorrow, but shouldn't you have a plan anyway? Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait, communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is Mario Andretti. You know me as a race car driver, but I'm also a Meals on Wheels volunteer. I've raced against the sport's biggest personalities, but I've never met more vibrant, amazing people than the seniors served by Meals on Wheels. You can make a difference by dropping off a hot meal and saying a quick hello. So, America, let's do lunch. Volunteer your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org.
Folks, thank you for joining me for this second segment of In the Booth here on Central City Radio. I am your host, Jim Bunner. And of course, another exciting day of talking about whatever is taking place in the news. Okay, so we just got done talking a little bit about what the Democrats are doing, what they're running on already next year, and reparations of all things. Of all things you would want to run on, you want to run on this issue of reparations. It seems to me that they just don't have anything else to run on. Okay, they're not looking good already. But there is one guy who's looking just a little bit better than the rest of them. You can get on realclearpolitics.com and you can take a look at who the leading candidates are for the Democrats in the 2020 race, the primaries. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. It's Joe Biden. Joe Biden is doing the best. Bernie Sanders is coming in second. Kamala Harris is in third place, most of the polls. Then all the rest of these people, this great big huge clown car of Democrats that is now running, they all have like 1% of the vote, which is sad because, as I've mentioned on In the Booth in the past, I actually like Tulsi Gabbard. See, again, there's not a whole lot of conservative talk show hosts that will go on the radio and actually say something good about a Democratic presidential candidate. See, but we can put aside partisan differences. I actually like Tulsi Gabbard. If we're going to have a Democrat president, let it be Tulsi. At least I have something pretty to look at. That's just my personal opinion. Now, of course, Donald Trump is the incumbent president. He is very likely to get reelected. So I'm hoping that it's this Harris lady, Kamala. I ought to just call her Cammy Harris or Miss Harris or whatever. That'll make it a lot easier for me. But I hope that it's Miss Harris, because I really don't want to see the reaction of Democrats if Donald Trump happens to beat a white male to the presidency. Okay, that would just kind of be a ho-hum whatever thing. But speaking of white males running on the Democrat ticket, Joe Biden, along with the Democrats already trying to get after Donald Trump, trying to find something to run against him, and they're apparently using this reparations deal as a political campaign, I don't know, an issue. They're making an issue out of it because they don't seem to have anything else to run on. Well, some of them have already come out to pick on Joe Biden because he's acting creepy around women. And of course, we've known Joe Biden has done things like this in the past. It's not really news. But it would seem that some of the rest of these Democrats need to get after Joe Biden because they know he's leading in all the polls. He's probably going to run at some point. And considering that he's got so much more name recognition and he's not as wacky far left as some of these people, okay, now I know what a lot of you out there listening are going to say, well, Joe Biden is very far left. Okay, but I mean, compared to Bernie Sanders, compared to Liz Warren, compared to Julian Castro, some of these people that are already bringing up this about reparations as a campaign issue, okay, Joe Biden, he's not quite that far into crazy town. But anyway, Joe Biden, he's handling this about being attacked for being creepy. He's handling it with a grain of salt. He's handling it real well. Former Vice President Joe Biden has recently brushed off allegations of inappropriate touching, and he's making repeated jokes about having permission to hug and touch those who are on stage with him during his first public appearance since multiple women came forward with accusations he made them uncomfortable. Biden said, referring to International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, the male president, Lonnie Stevenson, he said, "I just want you to know I had permission to hug Lonnie." So, okay, now he's getting permission from some of these people. Later, Biden invited a group of children in the audience up to the stage while putting his arms around a young boy and talking about the financial future of younger generations, and he made a similar joke. He said, "By the way, he gave me permission to touch him." Okay, so Joe Biden's not running from this about these accusations of him acting creepy, kissing women on the top of the head when they didn't want to be kissed, or caressing them, or running fingers through hair, or just something, some of these other things that people are starting to get on Joe Biden about. He's taking it with a grain of salt, and, you know, he's being relaxed about it. It's like he knows that this is just campaign stuff that some of these other Democrats are trying to get after him about, and he's just kind of shrugging it off like, okay, it's not a big deal, it's just political. They know that I'm the guy to beat in the Democratic primaries. Well, the woman who first accused Biden of inappropriately touching her is denouncing his remarks. She's denouncing them on Twitter. Lucy Flores, former Nevada lawmaker who said Biden kissed her on the back of the head while campaigning for her in 2014, says that Joe Biden hasn't reflected at all on how his inappropriate and unsolicited touching made women feel uncomfortable. So while Joe Biden is trying to handle this thing in the best political way possible, you know, water off a duck's back type of thing, his accusers, or at least this one accuser, is not buying it. Flores said, to make light of something as serious as consent degrades the conversation women everywhere are courageously trying to have. Well, Joe Biden has made no other references to these accusations in a speech that he gave, but afterward he told a group of reporters outside this event where he was making this speech that his comments weren't intended to make light of anyone's quote-unquote discomfort. And like I said, Joe Biden's not running from this. Joe Biden doesn't seem to be afraid of these accusations of inappropriate touching because Biden also says he quote-unquote wouldn't be surprised if more women came forward and said they'd felt uncomfortable in his presence. Oh, you gotta love that. You gotta love that. He's actually admitting and said, yeah, I bet there's more of them out there that are saying stuff like this, and I'm not at all bothered by it. Oh, this is going to be good. This is getting around to being good. What are they going to use against Joe when he does finally throw his hat in the ring? He's not at all afraid of this. He knows that this isn't going to destroy him. He knows this is a nothing burger. Okay. Well, he said, I've had hundreds and hundreds of people contact me who I don't know and say the exact opposite. So, okay. Joe Biden doesn't seem to be afraid of accusations of inappropriate touching. Not even from his accusers. Not even from potential political opponents. So this isn't something that is going to be successfully used against him when he, if he throws his hat in the ring. Now, I shouldn't say when he throws his hat in the ring, because I thought he was going to do it in 2016. I thought, oh, come on, man. You're going to get into this. You're going to get in there. The Democrat Party is a house burning down. They've got Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders and all these know-nothing candidates. Okay, you got to get in the ring. Well, he didn't. Okay, so Bernie's running again. And, of course, some of these other people running are about as crazy as Hillary was. Well, some of them are crazier. Okay. So, you know, it would make sense for Joe Biden to run, but he didn't run in 2016, so I probably shouldn't say that I'm certain that he will run. All I can say right now is that it certainly looks as if he is trying to handle this as well as he can. Well, speaking of important campaign issues, the Electoral College continues to be a bigger and bigger issue for some people in the country. And some people's fanaticism against the Electoral College looks like it might backfire on them and make them look a little foolish. Okay, I'm going to have that coming up in the next segment of In the Booth. Don't go anywhere, folks.
In the Booth will return after these quick but very important commercial breaks.
Welcome to Calvin's Barbershop.
You all got to see this.
I don't even want to know what you're looking at on that phone.
Well, you should. I was learning about the dangers of high blood pressure and that we need to get ours checked regularly. High blood pressure can increase the risk of heart attack or stroke, but this text program can help keep it at a healthy range. Just text Barbershop to 97779 to sign up.
I'll get right on it as soon as I'm done with this baby panda video.
Text Barbershop to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association and the Ad Council.
It's important to plan ahead for emergencies, like the storm. When it kicked in, we had a plan. We were able to get in touch with each other in no time.
We had no idea how to find each other.
The whole experience
was the most frightening 10 hours of my life.
If there's one piece of advice I'd offer other moms out there, it's to stay calm and keep to the plan.
Some parents plan ahead. Some don't. Make sure you know where to find your family in an emergency. Start your plan at ready.gov. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Folks, this is Central City Radio. I am your host, Jim Bunner. The show is In the Booth. We've covered just about everything interesting that is going on that is noteworthy or news-making. Well, okay, we haven't covered everything. We've just covered some very fun-to-talk-about stuff. Well, All right, so the political battle for next year is heating up, and issues that are already starting to become big campaign issues are Joe Biden's inappropriate touching, or whether we should all have reparations for slavery. Well, as everybody knows, a big issue going on as well is the Electoral College. Oh, gosh, let's get rid of the Electoral College. The Electoral College gave us Donald Trump. Okay, I'm sure everybody who's on social media having any kind of a discussion about what's going on in the world right now probably has talked to somebody about how bad America's Electoral College is and how we need to get rid of it. Well, some states are being real smart about this Electoral College thing. Guess what they're going to do? They're going to make sure to pledge all of their votes to whoever wins the popular vote in the 2020 election. So that means that even if most people in their state don't happen to vote for the person who gets the popular vote, their electoral delegates will still go to the person that most people in their state voted against. You're going to love this story. This is good. Okay, New Mexico. I live in Arizona. New Mexico is my neighbor. Well, New Mexico is the latest state to join a compact pledging to devote its electoral votes to the winner of the popular vote in future presidential elections if enough states sign on. Democratic State Senator Carlos Cisneros co-sponsored the bill, which was signed by Democratic Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham last week. Cisneros says he hopes the elimination of the quote-unquote archaic Electoral College will give New Mexico more influence in national elections. Well, New Mexico is now the 14th state to join the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, which is bringing this thing called the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, up to 189 electoral votes. The states will not shift their vote allocations until their combined electoral votes equal 270, which is enough to decide a presidential election. Okay, well, what are the other states that are part of this, along with New Mexico? We got California, we got Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont, Washington State, and even the District of Columbia. Well, I'm sure that on first glance, what is the big thing that everybody out there understands about what these states and this district have in common? Well, okay, aside from Colorado, they're all hardcore blue states. Okay, see, this is what is getting to be funny about this. They're all blue states except for Colorado, which, okay, Colorado's voted for the Democrat in presidential elections last three elections. You know, officially, they're still a swing state, but they haven't exactly been a swing state since then. Okay, well, so basically, all of these are blue states. New Mexico is officially a swing state, but they lean pretty Democratic, and I think they're going more and more Democratic all the time. Just my personal opinion. Okay, so all of these are very blue states joining this compact that if they manage to get 270 electoral votes, whoever gets the popular vote in 2020, all of these states' electoral votes are going to go to that person rather than going to whoever the people of their state voted for. Cisneros sponsored similar legislation last year but said it didn't pass because the legislature began working on it too late. He said it also failed because some members of the political body saw it as anti-President Trump and a move to hinder Republican candidates. Well, the Electoral College has been a topic of conversation in the 2020 election. Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, who's running for the Democratic presidential nomination, announced at a CNN town hall that she would like to eliminate the system, and there are other candidates who have said the same. So, the Electoral College, some people are trying to get rid of it or alter it. And, you know, the way I'm reading this about this National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, some of these states are going to end up looking foolish if this thing goes through. Okay, because let's think about this. What are they doing? What they're doing is they're essentially throwing away their electoral college votes. Okay, they're saying whoever gets the popular vote should get our electoral votes. Which would have to mean then that if, let's take a look at these states. Okay, California, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, Vermont. These are all states where most people are not going to vote for Donald Trump next year. Okay, but history would say, being the incumbent president, he is going to be reelected. And some of these issues that the Democrats are running on, abolishing the Electoral College, reparations for slavery, attacking Joe Biden for inappropriately touching women, these are all issues that would suggest that there's really not much for the Democrats to run on. Okay, so Donald Trump right now looks set to win re-election, even with the popular vote. Now, if that were to happen, if he got the popular vote and he wins swing states like Florida, like Ohio, like Iowa, then all of these states that are going to be part of this pact, their electoral votes are going to go to Donald Trump, even if most people in these states happen to vote against Donald Trump. Now, doesn't that just look absolutely silly? I mean, why would you be doing things this way? You're just going to give a bigger landslide to whoever gets the popular vote. I mean, next year, the guy who gets the popular vote, you're just going to give that person even more of a landslide. And the Republican states don't seem to be on board with this. So if a Democrat wins the presidency in 2024 with a popular vote, it's not like that Democrat is going to win an electoral landslide. Okay, so what is the point of this? What is the point of this? It just makes no sense, especially considering that the whole idea of undermining the Electoral College is just pointless. Okay, again, and I know everybody's having a conversation about this. Everybody is talking about, oh, we need to get rid of the Electoral College. Well, you can't get rid of the Electoral College because it gives smaller states a voice. Okay, I'll tell you what. The President of the United States is not the only component to our government. Okay, if you want national popular vote, where the big states and the population centers have more sway than rural areas, guess what? We have a new invention in our government. It's called the House of Representatives. And in this thing called the House of Representatives, we have representatives in there that are, they represent districts that are based on population. So that would have to mean then that some of these really big populated counties in Southern California or in Manhattan, where Democrats rule the roost, have the big advantage over some place like, I don't know, Winnesheek County, Iowa, or Custer County, Nebraska, some really small rural place with very few people, very few votes, where most people would vote for the GOP. Okay, the Democrat Party has an advantage in the House because there are so many more Democrat districts and there's not enough swing districts for the Republican Party to ever get a supermajority in the House. And as a matter of fact, as far as people getting representation in the government, well, guess what? In the 2018 midterms, you know what? Southern California and Manhattan got their way. They have a Democrat-controlled House of Representatives. Okay, but as far as voting for the president, or as far as having the Senate, the reason that we elect the president the way we elect the president, and the reason that we have each state having two senators rather than doing it based on population is because we did want to give the majority some kind of power, and that's what we give them in the House of Representatives. Now, if you were to take this away, if you were to elect the president completely through popular vote, then you got two branches of government that are completely decided by whatever most voters happen to want, which means big states and population centers rule the roost in both of those. And the only thing then that small states would have to give them any kind of representation would be the Senate. And let's remember, we only elect our senators every 6 years. It's not like they're all up for re-election every 2 years like the House of Representatives. Okay. So small states really would be at a huge disadvantage without the Electoral College for the presidency. And big states, you know what, if you don't like Donald Trump or you didn't like George W. Bush, guess what? You can go and vote against their party in House midterms, because places like Southern California and Manhattan and, you know, Chicago, Washington, D.C., these places all have the big advantage because that's where the population centers are. They have a bigger advantage than, I don't know, the entire state of Wyoming, which I think, isn't it, Wyoming is just one congressional district? Okay, I think Wyoming only sends like one person into the House of Representatives. They don't have a real big vote in the House. I think Wyoming and the Dakotas both, you know? Okay, so it makes no sense to want to abolish the Electoral College just because you didn't get your way in 2016 and you didn't get your way in 2000. You have the House of Representatives, okay? That's done completely by popular vote. That's done by the will of the people. Well, I mean, what are you going to do? You want to elect the president completely by popular vote? Are we all of a sudden going to abolish the House of Representatives then and only have a Senate? And are we going to elect our senators every 2 years so that, you know, smaller states might be able to get a new senator to represent them? Okay, a small state like Idaho has just as much power in the Senate as California. Or, well, I don't know. I guess if Democrats have a difficult time getting a majority in the Senate because there's so many more rural states out there than there are urban states, there's so many more red states than there are blue states, and they have a tough time getting a majority in the Senate, well, then they're probably going to start complaining about the existence of the Senate, and then they're going to want to get rid of that, too. Look, just be happy with the House of Representatives. You won over there. All right, so how are we going to end In the Booth? Well, why don't we end it with the Ballad of Tim Schrant? Oh, come on, you haven't heard of Tim Schrant? This guy is awesome. This is a guy I would have liked to have shaken his hand. This is a neat dude. You're going to enjoy the final segment of In the Booth, ladies and gentlemen.
In the Booth will return after these quick but very important commercial breaks.
Hello, Kubo. What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure. So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
My teacher said that we should have a plan in case of an emergency. Do we have one?
First thing I'm going to do is grab a flashlight with dead batteries.
I'm going to start randomly throwing clothes in the bag. You two will be hiding in the closet and Dad won't be able to find you.
And that's when we both start crying.
Uncontrollably. Can you pass the cutlets?
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Search Ready Kids at NYC.gov or call 311. Brought to you by the New York City Office of Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Folks, this is the final segment of In the Booth. You are tuned to Central City Radio, and I am your host, Jim Bunner. All right. What else is there to talk about in the news that everybody is going to find to be all kinds of wild and crazy and exciting? Well, something relatable. Something that everybody can say, yeah, I know a guy like that. Okay. Because everybody knows this. Everybody's got that crazy uncle that just mouths off about whatever. Can't keep his mouth shut when he's supposed to. Can't do, whatever politically incorrect. Everybody's got a politically incorrect uncle. Or, I guess in our case, in everybody's case, we elected a politically incorrect guy to be our president in 2016. Hey, that wasn't a slam on Donald Trump. I mean, I think that's the reason people liked him. He was politically incorrect after 8 years of political correctness under the wonderful Barack Obama presidency. Well, this fellow who is starting to make the rounds online is a guy named Tim Schrant, and he lived in Iowa. Well, he died recently. But Tim apparently was such a colorful character, such a guy that a lot of people would want to meet, that everybody is talking about what people are saying about him in his obituary. Tim Schrant made his last inappropriate comment on March 29th, 2019, but his family is keeping his wry sense of humor alive with a hilarious obituary. The obituary was posted on the Schulter Bollock Funeral Home and Cremation Service, which I guess this is, if I remember somewhere correctly, I was reading this, somewhere in northern Iowa. I thought it was, or not north, well, he's in Decorah, I thought was where he lived, Decorah, Iowa. It's a fellow from Iowa. Well, this obituary said, "If you are wondering if you may have ever met him, you didn't, because you would remember. For those of you who did meet him, we apologize, as we're sure he probably offended you. He was world-renowned for not holding back and telling it like it is." Well, Tim Schrant, who passed away at the age of 63, died after a short battle with cancer. Schrant left behind a wife, who he said he was able to hold on to for 13 wonderful years, and who was promised not to have been tied down with restraints, two sons, and two grandchildren, who Tim Schrant apparently taught how to say cuss words. Well, he also had two stepchildren, two step-grandchildren, his mother, and six siblings. Well, the entire obituary is well worth reading. And for this segment of In the Booth, I decided to include just a few choice lines out of this. Tim worked at Camcar Stanley Black & Decker in Decorah as a tool and die maker for 30-plus years. Tim worked with many friends and, quote-unquote, a bunch of morons. His words, not ours. This is from the funeral home. Well, not exactly his words, because that would have included a bunch of swear words. Okay, so this is why people liked Tim Schrant, I think. Because, first off, he's funny, and secondly, this is something people can identify with. Everybody works with morons. Everybody works for morons. Okay, that's the biggest thing that bartenders listen to, is people bellyaching about their job. Either they work with morons or they work for morons. Everybody has this. And this is what people knew Tim Schrant for, is that he said he worked with a bunch of morons. For a lack of better things that I can say on the radio, I'm sure. They were only morons. They weren't, you know, some other word that he might have put before the word moron. Another part of the obituary. "We're considering establishing a GoFundMe account for G. Heilemann Brewing Company, the brewers of old-style beer, as we anticipate they are about to experience significant hardship as a result of the loss of Tim's business. Keep them in your thoughts." See, Tim was a good guy. You would want to go have a beer with him, apparently. "Tim led a good life and had a peaceful death, but transition was not good. And for the record, he did not lose his battle with cancer. When he died, the cancer died. So technically, it was a tie. Tim was ready to meet his maker. We're just not sure the maker is ready to meet Tim. Good luck, God." Well, now, for my reading of the Bible, God is ready for anything. God would be ready for anybody. I'm sure God could handle Tim Schrant, but still, that's a pretty good thing for somebody to be talking about in your obituary. Good luck, God. It reminds me of that scene in that City Slickers movie. "Well, God, here's Curly. Don't make him mad." Well, even those who didn't know Schrant have sent his family their sympathies on the funeral home's guest book. One person all the way over in North Carolina wrote, "I'm going to remember Tim so I can look him up when I arrive. He sounds like a great guy." Somebody apparently heard the news about Tim Schrant clear over in Australia. Somebody wrote, "I never met Tim, but I saw his story on the news in Australia, and glad I came to see what the fuss was about. And I have to say, Tim, you made my day." That's what somebody was apparently saying all the way over in Australia about Tim Schrant, this fellow from Decorah, Iowa. Well, you know, you certainly had an important life if you've left that big of an impact. People all over the world are talking about you. just because of what somebody wrote about it in the adventure. Okay, that's good stuff. This Tim Schrader guy. And after all, he made it on In the Booth, too. So, you know, he's important enough that we want to talk about it. Well, for those of you who are basketball fans, right now I've got 55-47 Virginia over Texas Tech. I hope all of you guys are out there watching the game. We're getting ready to watch the game now. The booth is almost over. In the Booth will be back on next week, and you're not going to have college basketball to pay attention to, so more of you are going to be listening. Thank you for joining me today, everybody. This is Central City Radio.
People been saying to your friend, get a different face, and posting on their feed, they're super.